Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
We are coming to the breakthrough in our midst, in churches. As you know, we have been in revival for several years. At the beginning, I didn't fully understand. I didn't teach that much, but I never gave up. And a lot of people get confused and why we do that, why we lay hand, why people fall down and laugh and all this stuff. And at the beginning, I couldn't explain because it's so new to me too. But now we begin to understand and we just hang in there, willing to go through all the things that sound like in the natural eyes, very disappointing. You know, like people leave church, people get mad at us, people reject us, talk bad about us, and all this stuff. We went through quite a bit in the past few years, and so many times I wanted to give up. But God spoke to me that I have seen your heart, that you never gave up on the presence of God and on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God began to bless the church. I can see that God really begin to pour out His blessing. A lot of people get jobs, and financially people got better. I got email from a church in Nakhon Pathom, which is the central part of Thailand, that they rent a place in the middle of the freeway somewhere, you know, kind of in the junction of the freeway. And now people just walk into the place and accept Christ. People just walk in and say, "What are you doing here?" And we are Christian. And so people guests come in and sit and get saved and get touched by God and fall under the power. And people come back to church again. Something like that. And they begin to have buy guitar and keyboard. I mean, this is a small church, but money come in. And God begin to bless the church financially. In Rivers of Life Church, we can see, they say that last Sunday, one of the best drummer in Thailand, professional drummer, came in, got touched by God, get saved, and was on the floor for a long time. This is the first time he came to church, but he got touched by God. And God is adding in drummer, musicians, and a lot of things happen. I believe that the what the Bible talks about Obed-Edom, that Obed-Edom welcome the Ark of the Covenant. Then the glory come, and the house was blessed for 3 months. So when we welcome the presence of God, eventually, the blessing cannot stand still. It has to move for us. Not that we love the blessing, but we love the presence of God. And the automatic thing going to happen is that the blessing going to start to flow in the church. So I would like to encourage all of you to love the presence of God, welcome the presence of God. But don't be ashamed of the move of God. Don't be ashamed of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in the church. Amen. We fear God more than man. We don't want to fear man more than God. So and God told me that we're going to see more breakthrough in the area of soul safe in the church. Lately, every Sunday, I cry now to God so many years that we will see people safe every Sunday. It didn't happen. You know, it's kind of, we never have guests for a long time in the church. But lately, we begin to have more guests come in, and people just get saved easily, both in Nakhon Pathom and Bangkok and here. So last Sunday, 3 people accepted Christ in Bangkok. And this is a Buddhist country, okay? And Nakhon Pathom have 4 people accepted Christ. And here, we have a few people accepted Christ too. So I thank God for His grace, and we will not give up the revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I haven't shared this with anyone, but I talked to Pastor Cesar a little bit before I teach. I like to say something quickly. Two days ago, God gave me the idea. Suddenly God spoke to me while I was driving on the freeway. We love the new believers so much, and we don't want new believers to be lost or to be confused and to stuck in immaturity and never have good foundation. So our heart, we want to see our new converts or even people from other church who come in but never have foundation to really learn and grow and have mentoring and discipleship. And all this year, we try everywhere. We try to approach people personally, and we try to have meeting among leadership and get all the name, all this, but really struggling how to get people to be involved in discipleship. And then on Sunday, I was driving to a care group, and God spoke to me, "Son, you do this way. On Sunday, every month, maybe once a month, I will begin to talk about discipleship and mentoring on the pulpit, and then encourage people that they will take serious about growing and being disciple, and take serious about studying the Bible, serving God, and learn from somebody." And after I say that, I will say, "The table outside there, we have the paper. If you want to sign up to be disciple out there, you can go and sign up and give us email address and phone number. In this way, we will have people who voluntarily want to be disciple. We don't need to force people anymore. Two, it's clear in the church that this is the way we do. Three, this sheep that sign up will know that the assignment for that will be shepherd to them, the mentor or the shepherd toward them, will be thinking, will be thought through by the leadership or the pastor. Because, you know, sometimes people scare if somebody, Mr. A, walk to you. You know, like, for example, you sit close to somebody and you are a new believer in this church, and Mr. A turn to you and say, "You know, by the way, you like to be disciple. I want to teach you." People are like, "Who are you? I don't know you. You know, I'm scared. I don't know. Maybe you are a, you know, have a different lifestyle, you know, alternative lifestyle. You want to get together with me or something." People can be skeptical about stranger because new believer doesn't know who we are in the church. So I think this way is clear that this is going to come through channel of leadership, that leadership will say, "Okay, this is a person. We, in other words, Pastor Cesar or I or elder will call this person and say, we have this option for you, 1, 2, 3, 4 person, after we talk among care group leaders. And then we say, what do you think? Can we introduce you to this person?" In this way, it will come from the church level. And we don't want to force anyone. And I think more people are going to sign up because it will be the way we are in this church. How many people think this is God's idea? I mean, I never thought about this way before until suddenly God spoke to me, "This is the way we're going to do in America." Because people in this society doesn't want to be forced, or doesn't want, people don't want to be forced or don't want to be coerced. But if they volunteer to sign up, then it's voluntary. Is that right? You like the idea? Oh, God is so good to me. God gave the idea. So we will start to do this every month. And I will talk to Pastor Cesar to have somebody sit at the desk at the table outside with the paper, everything, and we'll begin to do this in a very organized way. So that this way we know who want to be disciple, who don't want to be disciple. That's okay. If they don't want to be disciple, it's their own choice. But they will grow slowly. They will not grow very fast. So we offer, and people take it or not, it's up to them. Amen. So I think it's a God idea. Amen. So we're going to start to do that. Today, are we recording now? Or we should, I'm going to start. Today, I would like to start teaching the series that, in fact, I have taught before in this church, maybe about a couple years ago. But at that time, we did not record into the CD series. And God kept speaking to me that I need to do this again and record it for the next generation. We don't want to teach the same thing again and again. We want to go to the next subject so the people of next generation can order the CD series and listen carefully. I want to encourage all of you to really listen to the CD seriously. I don't mind you listen to Joyce Meyer. I don't mind you listen to other preachers, great preacher like Derek Prince, like whatever, great preacher in America. We have so many great preachers in America. But at the same time, it's good to hear the voice of your shepherd so that our whole church will go to the same, will go in the same direction. You know, if you listen to other preachers all the time without listening to our CD here, eventually we cannot go the same direction together. Amen. So we need to listen to the teaching in our own church too, so that we know what direction God wants to lead this church, what God is doing in our midst. Lately, God speak to me like this. He said that love every church in the whole world. This is not about the empire, but it's about the kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom. And God told me this, each house that I build in the world, I have a specific job for them to do. I have a specific calling for them to fulfill. I call you one way, I call this church one way, and I call another church on the street another way. Don't compare you and them, and don't judge them. Don't try to put down on other churches, because their calling is different from you. And just you just do whatever God I call you to do, and that is the calling of that church. And just do it and fulfill it according to what says. Amen. So how can you know what God is calling this church to do if you don't listen to the teaching in our own church? I believe that somewhere, somehow, you will miss certain teaching in this church because you're out of town, you're on vacation, you went to Japan to visit your dad for 2 months, all this stuff. You know, you will miss something. And when you miss those teaching, then you miss a big chunk, a big portion of what God wants to do here. Therefore, I want to encourage you to set aside time. If you love to listen to other preachers, that's fine with me. I'm not jealous. I'm not insecure that you cannot listen to other preachers. But make sure that you spend a lot of time listening to our teaching as well. Today, I was so encouraged that when I walk into the room in the hospital, this man, I was looking on the table where they put the lampstand, you know, that in the hospital, and I saw my CD there, a box called Faith Class, and I say, I didn't say anything. Actually, I didn't ask him because I didn't want to make it big deal. After a while, I talked to him. He just said that he began to tell me that, by the way, Dr. Lau and Pastor Lau, I listened to your CD, this box, 5 times already, each CD. And I tell you right now, my faith rise up now. I'm on fire. I have more faith. And I feel that God called me to do something for him. You need to understand that only a month ago, I met this man in my office and he was a backslider. He was not walking with God that much. In 1 month, he listened to this, I don't know how many CD in that box, 14 or something CD, 5 times. He said he listened in the car again and again until this morning he even quote what I say in the CD. He exactly quote what I say. Amen. He said like this, I believe I'm going to look young because I have faith. I'm not going to get old easily. And he said exactly what I say in the car, faith class, you know. So you see, even outsider, they listen. And they take advantage. Amen. You listen to hear the story about the doctor down in Phuket, south of Thailand. You see, you heard all this story. So I believe that the CD teaching in our church will be beneficial to your life. Amen. Take advantage. Get every tape, every CD that we have. Listen to all of them again and again, because there are so many things that God is speaking directly to this congregation, for this time, for this hour, for this calling. If you want to be in the midst of the move of God that God wants to do in the end time, you need to plug in. And one way that God speaks to the church is through the sermon and the preaching, through prophetic word that may come from the preacher. So we need to really pay attention to what God says. That's why Jesus said like this, let he who has ear listen to what the Spirit wants to say. We need to really listen carefully to God, to the Spirit of God, and to the Shepherd of the Church. Amen. So today I'd like to start all over again the ministry of helps. This is, I think, one of the most important teaching in the ministry, because I believe that every believer should some way, somehow be involved in the ministry of helps. In fact, whether you say that you have the gift of helps or not, if you are a mature Christian, you will be involved in the ministry of help in certain way. That's why this lesson is so important, because it's related to every believer in the local church, including myself. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we believe, Lord, that your word is powerful. We surrender our heart to your word. We ask you to put into captivity, Lord, our mind into the obedience to Christ. And we also ask the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us, including those who listen to this CD, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, bless those who meditate on your word day and night. Bless those who love your word, Father, and put it into practice. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about the ministry of helps. Help with S. Because there are many ministry in helps, in the ministry of helps. And again, I want to encourage all of you to meditate on the word, to really love the word of God. And you, when you listen to the teaching, make sure that you pay attention to each word and each sentence that God wants to say carefully. Because sometimes one sentence that God speaks to you can change your life totally. Amen. It can be something that really change direction of your life, or change, make your ministry totally change. The way you live, the way you do things, God speaks to you. So you need to listen to the word. You need to understand the teaching in your heart, what the Holy Spirit has brought to you specifically. Amen. Look at what King David say about the word of God in Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. But his delight is in the law. Actually, I didn't type verse 1 in there. I need to read from verse 1. Psalm chapter 1 on. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Sorry for the PowerPoint. Blessed is the man. I missed verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Everyone say day and night. So you think about the word of God day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How many people want to be prosperous? Amen. So if you want to be prosperous, you need to meditate on the word of God day and night. The word meditate in the Hebrew language is the word Hagah, H-A-G-A-H, which means to speak, to mutter, to say repeatedly, to think about it repeatedly, to praise, to honor, to worship. Think about it, honor it, worship it. So the biblical meditate is different from the world meditation. The world meditation means that you go into a trance and sit quietly to make your mind empty. But especially in the Eastern religion, in the Eastern religion, you meditate by you just sit there and make your mind blank and get into a trance. But the Bible says that in meditation of the Word of God means you speak it again and again out loud. You think about it. You consider it day and night. You just value it and put into practice. Amen. You like a cow that chew the curd, you know, the cut. You chew the grass. Keep bringing it up and chew it again and again and again. Therefore, if we want to really be, want to be a very successful servant of God, we need to really love the Word of God. We need to really store up the Word of God in our heart, and then we will be prosperous in everything we do, including the ministry. The ministry will be successful. The ministry will prosper because we meditate on the Word day and night. Amen. And I want to say that this, that we serve God not because we have to. We serve God not because of duty or because of position. We serve God because we love Him. Amen. If anyone try to work for God for money, he is not working for God. He is working for man or working for himself. So our motive in serving should not be money. But I can guarantee from the Word of God that if you really faithfully serve God, Jesus will reward you and take care of you. You will not lack and you will not be hungry. Amen. So Christian worker will not lack anything. He will take care of you. Amen. He will supernaturally provide for you. But at the same time, if people serve God so much and they come out from that job, become full-time, the church should take care of them financially as well. We should not let people be hungry. Amen. So, before I go on to talk about Ministry of Help, because all of you here, at certain degree, you are a leader in the church. Maybe you are a leader in the Sunday school. Maybe you're a leader as an usher, lead usher. And I hope that those people who don't show up, who are leaders in certain ministry, will get the CD to listen. Because if you have privilege of being a leader, you need to have responsibility to learn and to grow. Why? Why we need to take training seriously. You know, the Bible says the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's good for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we cannot serve God without being trained. And the reason is so important that we all need to set our goal to go to the next level all the time, to go to the next level of gifting, next level of faith, next level of love, next level of ability, anointing, wisdom. We need to keep going ahead, step ahead. We need to step forward. We should not be backward. You know why? Because people in the church rarely go beyond leadership. If you are at the low level, everyone under you suffer because they cannot go beyond the leadership. You understand what I'm talking about? That's why I don't love you if I don't grow. I don't study Bible to preach. I study Bible to grow myself. If you don't grow, if I don't grow, my wife will suffer. My kids will suffer. The members in the church will suffer because they will be stuck at the ceiling. But if I keep growing and moving on in anointing, in wisdom, in spiritual maturity, in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then people under me who follow me will keep growing to the next level. That's why I'm seeking anointing all the time. I'm seeking to grow more all the time. I'm serious. I think Mary Jo can be witness the way you saw I write the sermon, that I'm really try to move on, to grow more, to understand more about God. Amen. So, not only that, you need to really always step moving forward, moving higher and higher in your spiritual life. You need to set the goal to grow spiritually, to get better all the time, because whatever leadership does, that is what the people will do. Amen. If the leader never smile, member will never smile. I was so impressed when I went to Pastor Joe Osteen Church. And I can feel that when I have a chance to say hi to Pastor Joe Osteen, he is so warm. This man is so warm, very kind. And I tell you, all of his usher and choir and everyone, I can see that they come from the pastor. Because when I walk into that church, we kind of went into the back room where the choir stand. No, we did not go to the front room. When we walk into the back room of the building to get into the special seat, I remember all the choir, "Hi, good to see you. Where you come from?" They come and greet us and welcome us. At the beginning, I didn't understand, but when I met Pastor Joe Austin, oh, these people got from him. You see, lead members of the church will do the same thing leadership is doing. If you are arrogant, you walk like this, every member of the church is going to do the same thing. Is that right? You set the tone, you set the atmosphere, and the whole church is going to be the same way. That's why I keep repenting all the time. If I do anything wrong, I ask God to repent. I ask God to really change me, because I know that my spiritual maturity will impact the church so much. Amen. Lately, I just repent one thing. I got mad at a certain group of Christians, and I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to associate with them. But God deal with me, so I repented, and I begin to, God say like this to me, "Son, what the Bible say about love?" I kind of know the answer. Love means die for your brothers. And he asked me, "Son, are those Christians in another church, are they your brothers?" "Yes." "Are you willing to die for them?" I kind of swallow a little bit. And, no, God. Repent. God said, repent. Now, you don't even get mad at them. And don't talk to them. You are willing to die for them. Ooh, tough. But I repented. So I began to do good to all these people. Email them, call them up and say, "Hi, I love you unconditionally. I have no grudges against anyone. I'm going to love Christian brother and sister, no matter what denomination, what kind of church they are in. I'm going to love them." You know what? If I cannot overcome this myself, the whole church will not overcome. We're going to get stuck there. Is that right? So that's why another question I ask this way. Let me ask this question. When Jesus come back, what the Bible say? We will be like him. Is that right? How many people agree we are going to be like him? Let me ask this question. Who need to change? Jesus or we? So, are we like Jesus yet? Not yet. So we're going to have to change every single day. Is that right? Because God say, when we meet Jesus, we're going to be like him. It means that we are in the changing process right now. So don't stop. Keep progressing in your spirit. If you want the team, the membership team in your care group or in your ministry to be faithful, you need to be faithful. If you want them to be generous, you need to be generous. If you want them to smile, you need to smile. If you want them to be on fire for God, you need to be on fire. If you want them to love the Holy Ghost, you need to love the Holy Ghost. I see this in the care group, in the whole church. If I noticed that Miss Susu loved the Holy Ghost. And that's why her whole unit loved the Holy Ghost. I can point to everyone, Simi, Howard, you know, everyone in the international unit loved the Holy Ghost. They all come out to be prayed for. Because why? The leader always in the front. Because people follow the leadership. Is that right? So that's why it's so important who we are, and we need to really, really take serious about changing and growing. Amen. If we want to reap a crop, you need to sow the seed. You need to plant seed. So whatever you want to see in the church, you need to keep sowing that kind of spirit. You need to keep changing. Amen. So as the servant of God and as leader in the church, you need to keep stepping forward, so that other people will rise up and follow you. And when they come up to your level, one day they come up to a higher level, you look back and you see them become flourishing and growing and do good things. What happened? You are so rejoicing. Every time I heard that the pastor in Phoenix, Arizona, or in Thailand are doing good things that happen in the church, you know, I never feel threatened that they will be better than me. Actually, I'm rejoicing to see these people follow the footsteps of Jesus, follow me as I follow Christ. And it's so great to see people rise up and grow and to be used by God. Amen. You need to understand that you will produce your own kind. Is that right? Sheep beget sheep. Amen. Pastor does not beget sheep. Therefore, I need to be a sheep too. If I want to produce good sheep, I need to be a good sheep. You know what I mean? So that's why if you want to produce good, you need to produce good archer. You need to be good archer yourself so that you can reproduce yourself into other people. The Bible says clearly that we need to reproduce. We need to impart and into a new group of people and reproduce yourself. I tell you the truth right now, it's not godly mentality to come to church and just enjoy yourself, good teaching, good feeling, and go on like that years and years and years without reproducing yourself. Amen. You need to reproduce. You need to grow up and then see somebody under you to rise up. We have so many new believers nowadays in our church. And I rarely hear anyone come to me and say, can I be a shepherd looking after this new believer yet? So we need to say that, oh wow, now is a good time. We have so many new believers. I want to reproduce. I want to see somebody rise up in the church and become strong. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. What does it mean, make disciples? Reproduction. Is that right? You reproduce. So don't just sit in the church and never reproduce. Like a fig tree that never produced fruit. Amen. One of the most important things in your Christian walk is to make disciples. Making sure that you help other people to rise up and grow up in the Lord. And everyone needs to do that, not only me. Amen? Do you hear that? So reproduce yourself in somebody else what God has placed in you. Amen? If you are good in the area of computer, you reproduce yourself to have a group of great computer technology in the church. If you're great in worship, you reproduce a lot of worshipers in your own ministry. If you are very good in teaching, you reproduce a lot of good teacher. Amen. If you are very good writer, you reproduce a lot of good writer in the church. All these things. Some people who know how to play guitar, reproduce a lot of guitar player in the church. Don't just keep that knowledge with yourself. Setting a class on Sunday after, on Sunday right after church, have a guitar class, piano class, whatever you need to reproduce yourself. Don't just keep it with you. Amen. Is it clear? This should be in your heart from today on. Amen. And get people excited about the job you are doing. Get people excited to do the same job you're doing so that they will rise up. We don't want to see believers in the church sit around doing nothing and being a consumer. We want to reproduce and see people rise up. Maybe Bom can teach people to play drum. Have a drum club. Amen. Guitar club. Amen. We need a lot of guitar player in the church. We should have computer club. Amen. These are all ministry of help. Try to help somebody to grow. Amen. So, we need to go back to the Word of God and look at the ministry of help. Why the ministry of help is so important? Let me ask you this question. How many people have fly in the air before in the airplane? Raise your hand up. You have fly before? Let me ask you this question. If you walk into the airplane and the company introduced you to the pilots, two pilots, usually they have two in big airplane, long distance from here to Narita, Tokyo. Usually at least two pilots, okay? And while you're sitting on your seat, suddenly you saw these two pilots walking on the aisle, giving you coffee and giving you Coke and drink. And he walked and, "Do you want some more Coke?" And this pilot come and serve on the aisle. What is your reaction? Huh? I believe you can say, "What? Go back to your seat. Please take care of the airplane. Take care of the, what do you call that room? Yeah. Go back to that room. Make sure I go into the destination." Because you know that if he's not going back there, the plane going to go down to the ocean soon. Is that right? That's why God gives the ministry of help in the church. If the pastor have to change diaper, greeting people, play drum, after play drum, run up to lead worship, and run down to greet people and do the parking, try to direct the traffic on Sunday. And then after he pray, he had to turn around and catch himself. And then go next and pray and then catch himself. And he run around and answer all the questions. People call him about, "I need Tylenol. I cannot sleep. Pastor, could you help me?" He has to take care of all these natural things in the church. The church will go down into the ocean soon. The plane or the church will not go to the destination that God wants her to go. The pilot has to function as a pilot. The pastor has to function as a leadership in the church, to give direction, to lead the church, to do the ministry, to take care of the spiritual thing. Because in the church, there are always two things going on at the same time. The spiritual thing and the natural thing. The natural thing, clean up the floor, change the diaper, make sure the kids are taken care, make sure the chair are arranged. All these things are natural things. But there is a wrong idea that the pastor have to do everything himself in the church because we hire him to do. We pay tithe, he has to do everything himself. And that's why many churches suffer. And I believe that's why the devil doesn't want me to teach this lesson. Because he wants to keep the pastor in that bondage, is to keep doing the natural thing in the church so that he will be too busy to be a pilot of the airplane. Amen. One man in the church kept telling me almost every single week, "Pastor," he's an American man, his name is Don Smith, "Pastor, you need to be a pilot. You cannot come down to do little thing in the church. You cannot be a secretary. You cannot run around doing all this natural thing in the church. They need to, people in this church need to rise up and help you. Otherwise, our church gonna suffer." He kept telling me. And I appreciate that. It's kind of remind me because I have the tendency to go down and do little thing because I love people. But I have to understand that my job is not to give Coke and coffee at those seats. I need to sit behind, you know, the computer that run the airplane. Is that right? So that's why God is so smart. He is so wise. He know that if he doesn't give this gift to the church will not go nowhere. Amen. I tell you one thing. The church grows or not is not only my problem. Let me repeat one more time. This church is growing or not is not my problem alone. If the church doesn't grow, it's our problem. We together have the responsibility to make this church grow. And if you put your pastor to do the right thing and you do the right thing, I believe the church is going to grow. Is that right? And that's why we need to help. The pastor needs help. The fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are ordained or are anointed with the special anointing, supernatural anointing, to lead the church, to build the church, to train members. They are spokesmen. Do I say it right? Spokesmen of Jesus. So they will listen to God and come. You may not know. I think now Khun San has a glimpse of it now. My wife is not around for these past 2 weeks. Khun San have to run to my house every single day because I'm producing CD like mad right now. Produce 2 a day. You know why? Because in my heart, I just feel that I want to feed the sheep, but I cannot be with everyone at the same time all the time. The only way is to keep the Word of God keep moving and keep being listened to is to produce CD. So that the Word of God, so you can see the heart of the pastor that care for the sheep, care for the well-being of the sheep so much. All day, all night, Khun San saw my my whole table full of lesson, everywhere. I try to make sure that the church is fed, is growing. People, I need to focus on listening to God and going to the Word of God instead of doing all the natural thing in the church. Counting money, putting money in the bank account, find out what happened to Warm Beach Camp myself, call the Warm Beach Camp myself, how much we have to pay next year. All these things should not be done by the pastor. It's a natural thing in the church. It's the natural thing. Amen. Therefore, I want to say this. Every single Christian, no exception, can do something in the local church to help with the natural things or natural running of the church so that the pastor or the evangelists, or the teachers, and the apostle, and the prophet can concentrate on the spiritual thing and the direction of the local church. Amen. It's not that the pastor doesn't want to come down and sweep the floor. No. But if I keep sweeping the floor, the church will not go anywhere. The members in the church need to release me out of those things, so that I can focus on the spiritual thing. Amen. And therefore, every worker in the church, every member in the church should be zealous and faithful in doing those things for the pastor, so that the vision and the calling of that church will be fulfilled and get done. If it don't, the pastor doesn't have enough helps, the vision will not get done. Amen. I appreciate Steve, who prepare coffee pot every Sunday. Can you imagine if the pastor have to come at 8 o'clock to prepare coffee pot for a member? How this church is going to go? There's no way the church will grow. Amen. So I need to focus on something else that will. That's why sometime in the church on Sunday, I need protection. You know, sometimes people, I need the usher to protect me so that I can really minister. Because sometimes people take advantage on Sunday. They come and grab me and try to talk to me for half an hour. So I cannot do the rest of the job on Sunday. So that the usher come and say, you know, the pastor has something to do, you know, or try to come to break the situation for me. Amen? So it's a help thing. It's a helpful thing. Okay. In the body of Christ, there is a fivefold ministry in the body. That fivefold ministry is supernatural. How many people agree that it's supernatural? When you look at pastors, and I mean, I'm talking about real pastor, real apostle, real evangelist. I'm not talking about self-promoted or self-ordained. They are self-proclaimed pastor. No, I'm talking about real pastor, real prophet, real evangelist, like Mike Francine, real evangelist, or real prophet. You can see that it's supernatural that these people can do those things for God. Is that right? It's beyond human being to do it. And I want to say like this, no one can call themselves into the fivefold ministry. Let me repeat one more time. No one can call themselves into the fivefold ministry. It's this the calling of Jesus. Jesus is the one who calls certain people to be pastor, evangelist, teachers, prophet, and apostles. We call fivefold ministry offices. And then God is doing this. God will give the job or the vision or the calling into that ministry, into that pastor or apostle or prophet, so that it will, and God wants him to get that job done in his lifetime for the church or the family of God. He wants that goal that God put into his heart to be fulfilled. You see what I mean? To be reached. So, let me ask this question. If you are a born-again Christian, are you a part of a family? You are part of the family. Have you ever wondered that in the family of God, what role or what place do you have in that family? Or you just come into the house, jump into the bed, and then get up, never make bed, go to eat, never have to wash dishes, and then go get out and come back, jump into the bed. Is that the family or the hotel? That's the hotel. Is that right? That is not a family. So every single family member has responsibility. And God gives the vision to the dad, to the husband or the dad, to fulfill what God wants to do in that family. So every member of the family should find their place, their calling, and want to help the brothers and sisters and the mom and the dad to make the family strong and successful. So every single Christian should be able to help or to do something to fulfill the desire of God in that church. Amen. Every Christian should get involved in the ministry to help the pastor, to help the church. Okay, before I go on, I want to explain one word quickly here. The word anointing. What does it mean, anointing? The word anointing means the presence of God. Or another word, the presence of the Holy Spirit in that person or in that place. And when the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with power and equipping. He comes with supernatural ability or power. So, each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit. Is that right? We are born again. We have the Holy Spirit. So, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit is in us, we have the anointing. Which means, let me explain one more time, which means the presence of God in a person's life, and that presence of God produces power to get the job done. The presence of God in my life give me the anointing to get the job done as a pastor and a teacher in this church. The presence of God in Pastor Kenny's life give him supernatural equipping and power to lead worship in the church. This is given by God. And we call anointing. There are many kinds of anointings. So all of us, when we minister or serve, we need to serve under the anointing. We should not just serve by our own natural ability alone. We need to hook up to the anointing inside us. And God has given supernatural anointing on pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and apostles to get the job done. Amen. Supernatural anointing. This is not natural. Amen. At the same time, God give to, again, the fivefold ministry will do the job on the spiritual side. Teaching, healing, laying on of hand, impartation, you know, all this thing. Spiritual side. But the ministry of help, the anointing is to do the job on the natural side. But still, it's the anointing. Therefore, let me conclude this. The ministry of help or the gift of help is a supernatural ministry with the special anointing to get the job done in the church is supernatural, and it's the anointing. It's not just a human ability. I want to quote the scripture right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles. Oh, I want to have that gift. Miracles. I pray to God that I go to Thailand this time. I want to see miracles. Then gifts of healings. I want that one too. Helps. I want that one too. Administrations. I want that one too. And varieties of tongues. I want that one too. I'm very greedy for the gift. I'm very hungry for the gift. Amen. Do you notice one thing? God put the gift of help in the same sentence, in the same verse as apostle and prophets and teachers. Isn't it amazing? If the gift of help or the ministry of helps is not important, why did God put this gift in the same sentence or the same category as miracle, healing, apostle, prophet, and teachers? I think God tried to tell the church that prophet, apostle, pastor, teachers cannot do the job very well without, or even miracles worker and the people with gift of healing cannot do the job well without the ministry of helps. The ministry of help almost like a finger of the hand. How many people see the hand without finger? You think the hand can get the job done without fingers? If you cut all the fingers off, that hand is useless. Is that right? The same thing, the ministry of help is like the fingers on the hand. In the midst of this important gift of God, apostle, teachers, miracle, God put the word anointing, the gifts of helps. Amen. A lot of people miss God's blessing for two reasons. Number one, they are looking for spectacular anointing. They want to be a person who stand up and when they move their hand, then a lot of people fall down. They want to be in the ministry like when they just raise their hand, people get healed and come out from the wheelchair. Spectacular. But they miss the supernatural anointing that God put into them. A lot of people don't want to serve God. I see this all the time. I have a few people come to our church to visit our church as guests for a while. These people will always come to me and say like this. I'm not kidding. This is a real story. They will come to me and say, Pastor, you know, God called me to be an evangelist like Benny Hinn. How long ago did he call you? About 20 years ago. And right away, I know why it doesn't happen. Because in the past 20 years, this man go to church, to church, to church, and never serve anything. Never even help capture. Never help any greeting. Never do anything. Just sit there and say, if pastor don't let me go up and preach and perform signs and wonder, because I believe I have signs and wonder, I'm not going to do anything in this church. Flunk the test. Wrong attitudes. You cannot be that level without being a servant of God first. Sweeping the floor, greeting people at the front. You need to start from somewhere. God's not going to allow you to go up and perform signs and wonders without serving somebody. Amen. God anoints Khun San to help me to do CD project for me. Amen. God anoints Peng to run the care group on the north side of Seattle. God anoints Misusu to help me run the international group. God anoints Neil Johnson to teach in the Sunday school and to drive the van for the church. It's anointing. This is not a downgraded ministry. It's important ministry in the eyes of God. The ministry of help is very important because it helps the minister or the pastor to accomplish what God wants to do, God wants to say, and God wants to see. Without the ministry of help, it will not happen. Amen. And this is very important ministry. Let us say at the same time, the ministry of help is very important. Amen. Are you convinced now? Everyone say, it is a supernatural ministry. The ministry of help is the pillar to hold things up in the church. Without the ministry of help, the church may fall apart. You are the pillar. You hold up like a concrete pillar to hold up the church to keep running and going. Amen. I thank God for Millard. Ministry of Help to do the website, to do all the, you know, ministry of PowerPoint. I appreciate the sound team, sound man team. I appreciate the worship team, the children program. I appreciate those who help me correct my English. I just got a sermon done today. Mary Jo correct English for me. I appreciate people who write something for me. 2 days ago, Jane wrote to me, we're going to have a new series, CD come out. Jane said, could you please write some introduction? I said, Jane, I trust you. You write it and send to me. I will read. And if I'm happy, just go for it. You know what I mean? This is ministry of help. Help me to do all this detailed thing in the church so that I don't have to go sit and write detail. Somebody help me write the welcoming package. Somebody may write the brochure about each ministry. I like to see brochure in the front about care group, mentoring. Somebody who good in writing, help me to write those things. Otherwise, oh, pastor, I think it's your job. You need to do everything in this church. You need to write a brochure. You need to drive the bus. You need to do everything. I'm sorry. I cannot help you. Then don't blame me if the church doesn't grow. Because we need to help each other to grow the church. Is that right? It's us, not I. It's we. Amen. We need to use our talent. If you know that you're good at certain thing, God anoint you to do something, come and volunteer and do it. Help me. I need help. I always send an email to Jocelyn to help me correct some English before we put in the website. She did an excellent job. She has done excellent job. A lot of things that in the website, Jocelyn changed the word, make it very interesting. You know, Pastor Tyson helped to write the books, the established Christian lifestyle. Help us to write, to edit the lesson. I'm not good in writing very well, but I know the concept. But as a writer, I'm not good writer. So these people help the pastor. Amen. Some of you may help taking photograph, videotape. I go to Thailand this time. I like to tape people who listen to our CD and come back and show how the CD bless them in Thailand. Amen. So we need, one day I hope that I can have a team to go with me when I go on mission trip. One person can tape, another person can help me play piano and lead in anointing and bring the presence of God or something like that. It will be fun, huh, to go as a team to the mission trip together. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me ask this question. If you are in the ministry of help, who do you help? Help the pastor and help Jesus. Jesus anointed the pastor to run the church. So actually you help God and you help the one that God set in each church to oversee it. Your job is to help your pastor run the church. Amen. You're like the fingers. Things will not get done in the church without the ministry of help. You serve the man and the woman of God that God ordained in that local church. You make his life easier so that he can do something that you cannot do. Is that right? You may not know that Like for example, tonight when I went home, I go home. I'm not going and go to bed and watch TV. I usually go to bed around either 12 or 1 a.m. I tell you the truth, I fall asleep with this paper in my hand last night. I fall asleep on the bed with the lesson on my face almost every single night. You know why? Because I just have to prepare teaching all the time. On the airplane, I'm flying to Bangkok. On the airplane, I'm not sitting there watching movie. In the airplane, I read my sermon, what I'm going to preach in Thailand. I prepare. You think it takes time? Big time to prepare preaching each Sunday. Oh, last Sunday, I was so blessed Pastor Cesar preached. But by the way, last week alone, I produced 12 CDs. Even though he's preaching, but I prepare another 12 lessons. Preach, preach. Yesterday, I produced one CD, last about 95 minutes or 120 minutes or 110 minutes. And that how many hours you prepare that lesson to preach 120 minutes? A long time. I almost like, I tell you, I go to restroom with my paper. I'm serious. I never went into restroom bare hand. I went there and sit and read. I walk into, I'm sorry to say about this thing. Don't have imagination to it, please. Maybe we should cut this on from the CD. I walk into the hospital. You people in the hospital can be my witness. I walk in the hospital and walk like this. Get into the lift, in the elevator, and stand and read. You know why? My heart is for the church. I want to feed the church. I want to make good preaching. I want to preach well. I want to make sure that each Sunday I punch it. I make sure that people grow. I make sure that the information or the thing that God wants to speak to the church will be spoken. I take serious about it. And if I have to run all the detailed thing in the church, how can I have time to do these things? No way. I need to focus on the word and pray. I pray a lot. I spend time with God a lot. I listen to God. God, what I need to do. Actually, the idea of making CD come from God. God one day spoke to me, son, this is it. Launch. Start CD. I never have an idea until 1 year ago. Amen. In fact, God told me that, don't go ahead, God. Just do exactly His season and timing. So right now, our season is Thailand. I don't know. Maybe in 2 years, our season may be in Mexico. We are not running ahead of God. We're going to run with God's pace and timing. Or Taiwan. Who knows? Maybe LA. I want to see a church in LA. So many Asians out there, so many people need the move of God. That city needs the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that there is any revival church in LA. I don't think so. I never met any pastor from LA to go to Pastor Rodney's church. Never, one time. They need revival. I pray that God will raise up pastor to go to LA and start a church there. We already have two people over there. When you go now, you can start a church right away. Rumiko, the best pianist. And Katrina, the best archer. You got two members right away and they know how to serve God. Actually, on Sunday, Katrina was on the floor. She got touched by God. She got up. She came to me, have tears in her eyes. And she said like this, pastor, on the floor, God spoke to me. God sent me there ahead of you. You will be there. This church is going to be in L.A. God told me, and I go there ahead of you to prepare. Amen. Amen. It's God's season. Amen. Excited, huh, to have more people accept Christ in every city. One day, we're going to have a lot of big churches all over the world. You know, church grows so fast. I believe that church in Thailand is going to grow very fast. It's growing already. Amen. So, why? Because the Ministry of Health allow the preacher and the pastor to have an easier time to do what they need to do. Not that they will be lazy, laying around, do nothing. I think if somebody come to, I want to challenge some of you, come and stay in my house for 1 day and you will see my life. I may not talk to you though, but you will see my life. how busy I am with the ministry. Almost phone call all the time. Oh, you know, I pray, I study the Bible, I study my table full of the Bible and full of things. I study Bible a lot because I'm serious about building the church and feeding the sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. The ministry of health takes care of the natural details. Everyone say, details. Details. I need somebody who pay attention to the details for me. Amen. Hallelujah. So that I can focus on the direction to get the plane to Tokyo instead of coming out to give coke to people at the seat. And then the pastor doesn't have to worry about those details. Thank God for Mike and Millard, who helped me a lot of details, a lot of things. I say, we're going to write up the new policy about mentoring and shepherding or discipleship. So I asked Mike, go and read books and investigate. Look at our old model of our old church, the old way, and look at the new way, and let's write a proposal to me. I will read it, and we can do adjustment. I don't have time to go do that myself to write all this report, but Mike wrote a report for me and come and study together and look. So, you know, you go into the detail. Pastor Kenny, go into the detail in the worship team. Solo helped the youth worship team in detail. She arranged everything. She set up. She ran the ministry. Amen. For the youth group, for the youth ministry, youth worship team. Amen. Therefore, these natural things should be done by the ministry of health. Changing diapers, selling books, selling CD, helping someone to find the seat in the church, leading worship, soundboard, parking, children program, registration at the camp, arranging the game for the camp. Is Thai here? Thai, is it clear now? Is it sure now? The date, sure. Sure, 100%. I want to tell you the good news. Our God is a good God. You remember that our this is an example of ministry of help. We went to the camp July 2nd to July something this year. Everyone is, well, most people are not happy because it's a long weekend, it's a holiday, raining. I have to admit, I repented. It's my mistake. I take all the responsibility that I changed to that weekend myself. It's my problem. I cry now to God for the whole, a long time in the camp. God, because the Warm Beach camp told us that there is no way you can change. The whole July and the second part of July to early August, all full with big churches. Zero chance. So I kneel down, I pray with the prayer meeting in the chapel on every morning, and I come back to my room and I say, God, I make mistake. Our members suffer. Could you please do me a favor? Perform a miracle that I get the third week of July. Sunshine, beautiful. The Ministry of Health named Thai Sai called Warm Beach Camp yesterday and told them that we may move to another place. The Warm Beach Camp woman said, wait a minute. She went to her paper and she saw that one church canceled July 15 to 22nd. We got it! The best time of the year! The best time because it's not too hot. 16 to 22nd? Sunday to Friday. We got back the whole 5 days back. Amen. Let's give a hand to God. And thank Thai too. Thai. And now we're going to have this week all the time. When I heard that phone call, I was laughing. I was having a laughter. I just joyful. I just so happy. I was in the OR when she called me. I was in the scrub suit. I have to talk like this. People put the phone on me and hello, hello. I talk in Thai to her. Everyone, what is she talking about? And then after that, I say, good. I told the whole OR, I get the camp in Warm Beach. Everyone, what is going on with this doctor? I say, I'm so happy. God answer my prayer that we get the right date. Are you happy? Yeah. This is the blessing of the Ministry of Help. Without Thai calling Warm Beach for me, we will not get it. Thai call at the right time, right day, saying the right word, the word of wisdom. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm so happy. This coming year, we're going to have a good time. Amen. Good weather. Amen. So, now I should wrap up here and continue next time because we can have some announcement and talk about business a little bit. I want to end this teaching here that many Christians are in the ministry of hindrance. They are not in the ministry of helps. They love to hinder the pastor. They love to give the pastor headache and heartache and lack of sleep. Don't do that. We should be in the ministry of helps. Help him or her. Decrease the stress. Decrease the workload so that he can do whatever God calls him to do. Amen. Don't be in the ministry of hindrance. Help the pastor in the church. Help the leadership. In the same token, you help your care group leader. Because if you help your care group leader, you help the pastor. Because the pastor is the one who appoint the care group leader to do the job. If you keep fighting with care group leader, at the same time, you're fighting with the pastor and you're fighting with God. Amen. One time, a group of people are fighting against our unit leader in this church. I tell you right away, I will always take side with my unit leader no matter what. Sorry, because I appoint her or him. So he and she help me the most. How can I kill my own people? I'm going to take side with my care group leader, unit leader. Not that I am unjust, but think about it. These people serve me. They help me do the job. Is that true? I mean, think about it. I need to take side with them, no matter what. Because at least they serve me. And they're trying to help build the church. They may make mistakes, but they will repent. But I'm not going to get rid of them. I'm not going to kill them or going to punish them or something. If they repent, that's okay. That's over. Is that right? We are not enemies. We are helping each other. A lot of people have this attitude. I'm going to do anything to make care group leader have a headache and heartache. I'm going to make her life miserable and his life miserable. That is what we call ministry of hindrance in the Bible of Satan. It's not in the Bible of God. It's the Bible of Satan. Is that right? So don't do that. Amen. Maybe I read one more scripture and done. Look at Numbers, chapter 11, verses 10 to 17. Moses was the pastor of the biggest church in the world, a few millions only. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. The anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. You see, when God's people complain, give hard time to the pastor, what happened to God? God was angry. Wow. Moses also was displeased. So Moses, like a human being like me, said to the Lord, sometimes I say like this too, why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? In other words, I did not give them birth. Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom? As a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, poor guy, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, now Moses start to complain. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see your righteousness. So the Lord said to Moses, the Lord really have mercy on Moses. Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then, listen carefully, I will come down and talk with you there. You see, we need the presence of God. The meeting, God should come down every Sunday. Every meeting, God should come down and talk to us. I will take off the spirit that is upon you and will put the same on upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, and you may not bear it yourself alone. Wow. Moses was very discouraged because people complain. They are in the ministry of hindrance to him. What happened? Moses couldn't stand it anymore. So he asked God, and God said, why don't you pick 70 people in the ministry of helps? Helps you to take care of these people. Then God said, I'm not going to call these people for free. I'm going to give them the anointing. So God pulled the anointing of Moses and put on them, distribute on them. What you learn is this, that the anointing on the pastor will be upon you if you help the pastor. Amen. And are you glad that this pastor keep looking for more anointing? So because if you have more, you have more too. You go up with me. Amen. We want more anointing. Next year, I'm going to have more anointing than this year. I want to have anointing to the point that when I just step in the room, people just get saved and just walk out and cry, what can I do to repent? I know that this coming Sunday in Bangkok, the room will be packed. I know already. That room going to be packed. And I'm going to preach the gospel. And I pray that all the unbelievers are going to be saved. Demon going to come out. I'm going to lay hand, and people going to be see signs and wonder. And that Sunday, I want the anointing to set the captive free. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the anointing, and the anointing going to be upon you. Amen. How many people want more anointing? Serve the pastor. And God will use the same principle. He will pull the anointing out of the pastor and put upon your life. I pray this, pray also that God will really raise up the army with a lot of ministry of helps in the church. I pray that this teaching will go to our sister, our Divine Alliance churches, that they will be able to train people, rise up in the church, and the church will grow faster. Amen. One thing that God speaks to me to pray, and I will end this teaching right now. Please pray with me. God say like this, pray that in our midst here, God will raise up a lot of true evangelists. God told me this, that this is what he want us to do. We go and start church in a city. We send an evangelist in first as a, what you call, the first troop going to the land. Huh? The Marines. Okay. What else did you say? The forerunner. We're going to send the evangelist in there. Bam! Get a lot of people saved. And then the apostle come, the pastor come, and church will grow right away into 50, 100 people instead of dragging for 10 years for 20 people. God say that, pray that I will send evangelists into your church. And this evangelist will travel, not sitting around the church. They're going to travel to Bangkok, to Japan, to Los Angeles, to Taiwan, and go and get people saved. And then the pastor follow and go and preach and make disciples. We work in the fivefold ministry together. Amen. How many people want to see a lot of evangelists in our church? God spoke to me a few days ago that pray the evangelist will happen. And this evangelist needs to have character and really faithful. Do you know that evangelists Philip and Stephen were in the ministry of help for many months. I don't know how long, many years. So those who are faithful in the ministry of helps, who knows, one day God may use you to be an evangelist somewhere. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,